Good morning, all. As we open up God's word, let me just pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your scriptures, and we now pray that you'll be as we open up your word today, that you'll be teaching us, guiding us, and changing us. We now ask that you would remove all distractions from us so that we can hear you clearly this morning. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen. Well, this week I was remembering about back 20-odd years when I broke my hand. Now, I was a young 20-year-old lad, full of energy and maybe just slightly lacking in a bit of wisdom. I hope that I've grown in the wisdom department. I've definitely shrunk in the energy department, that's for sure. Now, in this night on question, I was at my martial arts training, which I was doing. And on this particular night, we were doing breaks in preparation for an upcoming grading. Now, I had watched a number of my other fellow students successfully break their roof tile, and it was my turn. I stepped up to the block which was holding my roof tile to complete the break. I lined up my fist. I even did a couple of practice punches just to make sure I had the technique down pat. And then I went for it. I hit that roof tile with a decent amount of force. And I was like, ooh, that actually hurt a fair bit. And I looked down, and my surprise, the roof tile was still intact. And I thought, well, I was given two attempts to break this. Let's try that again. So I once again lined up for my break. And this time I hit it with even more force. And instead of going, oh, that hurt a fair bit, I went, oh, that really hurt. And took off my glove, my thin glove, took one look at my hand and said, yes, I have broken my hand. My instructor even came over and took one look at my hand and said, I think you've broken your hand there, Matt. So off to hospital we went for an x-ray. After having the x-ray, we waited for the doctor to arrive, and upon her arrival, she walked into the room, took one look at my hand and said, yep, you've definitely broken that. Let's have a look at that x-ray to see how badly you've broken it. Now, x-rays, they're a wonderful tool, aren't they? A wonderful medical invention to help point out the problem with inside a person's body. Without having to open up, I'm glad the doctor didn't cut me open just to see that I've broken my hand. But x-ray machines, they don't actually fix the problem, do they? They only point to the problem within someone's body. In my case, the x-ray machine could not help heal my hand, my shattered metacarpal. I needed another tool to help heal my hand. In my case, a cast for 10 weeks. Now, when we turn to the Bible this morning, we see a similar thing from Hebrews. See, the writer of Hebrews is outlining this morning for us that the Old Testament sacrificial system is kind of like that x-ray machine. The Old Testament sacrificial system, it points to the problem of sin. But it doesn't fix the problem of sin. For we read in verses 3 and 4 from chapter 10, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. You see, the purpose of the Old Testament law was not to correct sin. The purpose of the Old Testament law was actually to reveal sin to us. To reveal to us the need for a Savior. To reveal for us the true need for a true high priest who could make the perfect sacrifice to cure sin. Now, this is why the writer of Hebrews starts our passage this morning with these words from verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things which are coming. They are not the reality themselves. In other words, the law is an x-ray machine, not the treatment. The law in the Old Testament sacrificial system pointed to the superior good thing which was coming. They were not the good thing themselves. And when we look at our Old Testament reading we had this morning from Psalm 40, we see that God actually foreshadowed the inadequacy of the animal sacrifices well before Jesus came. And the writer of Hebrews here, he quotes Psalm 40 in our passage from chapter 10. But he doesn't ascribe those words to David, who was their original author. He ascribes the words here to being about Jesus, where they find their perfect fulfillment. For God, he's not actually really satisfied with any type of animal sacrifice. What God desires was a person devoted to following his will, to fulfilling his will. The thoughtless slaughtering of animals, they did not remove sin. And God had no pleasure in specific sacrifices, the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the blood of bulls and goats. Because in the end, they were actually only offered out of obligation, not because they were fulfilling what God willed. God was only ever pleased with a sacrifice being offered when it demonstrated a broken and a remorseful heart, someone turning to God seeking forgiveness, not out of obligation or out of an obligation to fulfill the law. See, wholehearted obedience was the true sacrifice which God was seeking. And this was ultimately found in Jesus. For when Jesus came, he willingly committed his whole life to God's plan. And we read this in verse 9, the result of this. The result of Jesus coming to fulfill the word, the will of God. Jesus sets aside, or he more literally, if you want to go a more literal translation, he abolishes, he completely removes by fulfilling the first covenant. And he establishes a new covenant, which if you remember back to last week, we saw was sealed with his blood. And not only that, so not only does he remove that first covenant by fulfilling it and start a new covenant, by his obedience to the Father's will, we have the great hope of the gospel, which is found in verse 10. Have a look with me. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Because Jesus was obedient, we and the original authors have been made right with God. Because Jesus was obedient, we have been cleansed of sin. Because Jesus was obedient, we now have access into the presence of God. Remember what we saw last week. What happened when Jesus died on that cross? The curtain in the temple, which separated the most holy place where God dwelt from the rest of the temple, it was torn in two, symbolizing that we now have access to God himself because of what Jesus has done. Not because of anything we've done, not because of any sacrifice that we could ever offer, but only because of the perfect sacrifice that Jesus has offered. The writer of Hebrews, he sums it up beautifully from verse 12. But when this priest, that is Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. See, Jesus made a once-for-all sacrifice. He didn't need to be sacrificed time and time again. There's no need for any more sacrifices because Jesus was sinless and he paid the punishment for sin. That was death. So God can now say, because of what Jesus has done, their sins and lawless acts I remember no more. They have been forgiven. And where they have been forgiven, sacrifices for sin are no longer necessary. Jesus can now, as the high priest, sit down on his throne in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. This is why Jesus' last words on the cross were, "It was finished." There's no further need for sacrifices. There's no more punishment for sin to be paid for because Jesus has paid for it for those who believe in him. Verse 14, it didn't say, for by multiple sacrifices he is made perfect. It didn't even say, for by one sacrifice he is made perfect for a limited amount of time. For one sacrifice he has just covered your sins up until now. You need to live a perfect life. No, it says, for by one sacrifice he is made perfect forever those who are being made holy. What the writer of Hebrews is saying to his original Jewish audience, stop going back to the x-ray machine thinking that it will heal your broken arm. Stop going back to the old sacrificial system, which was never able to cure you of sin. Instead, look to Jesus, who is our true high priest. Look to Jesus, who is the one who is seated, who has completed his work. Look to Jesus, who has already made you perfect. Look to Jesus, who has forgiven your sins. Look to Jesus for your salvation. This is what the writer was originally saying to those people looking back to the Old Testament system. But what about us today? Now, I'm assuming most of you in this room, you're not running off to the temple to go make some animal sacrifices to cure your own sin. I haven't done that before. I don't even think we've got a temple that actually does sacrifices in Australia. So what is this passage saying to us this morning? Well, can I suggest that we too, from this passage, can learn a few things, just like the original readers did. And we can do this by getting behind the underlying issue that the original audience had. For the original audience, they had a lack of confidence in Jesus. They didn't truly understand who Jesus was. They were tempted to go trust in something other than Jesus. In their case, they were tempted to put their trust again back in the Old Testament sacrifice system. They were tempted to revert back to Judaism. So, with these kind of ideas, where do we put our trust today? This is the question that the writer of Hebrews poses for us today. Where do we put our trust? Are we putting our trust in something other than Jesus, just like these original audience were? Are we saying you need to do X, Y, Z to be saved? Are we saying you need to do this or that to have eternal life? Do we have true confidence in Jesus and what he's done? Do we have true confidence that we have already been made perfect by Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice. As we ponder these questions ourselves this morning, now these questions, they're as much for me as they are for you. Am I putting my trust in anything other than Jesus? Well, as we ponder these questions, hear the encouraging words from the writer of Hebrews once more this morning. But when this priest, being Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your words here to us today. Lord, we especially want to thank you for sending Jesus to not only be our high priest and mediator, but also to be our perfect atoning sacrifice, who has, by his death, made us perfect forever for those who trust in what he has done. We pray today that we would be trusting in what Jesus has done for us and not putting our trust in anything other than Jesus. And we pray this in your Son's name and for your glory. Amen.